Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It is Wednesday, the 27th of December, 2006. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you live from Washington, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, courtesy of Headaches Day Gone, the all-natural cure for headaches. There I was today, folks, visiting the office of American Free Press and touting Headaches Day Gone, and I'm telling you, it works. So check it out on the internet at headachesdaygone.com. The toll-free number is 1-800-327-0727. It does work, folks. Check it out. Well, you know, I open up the Washington Times today, folks, and it turns out that there is a city in Texas that has barred prison parolees from living within 1,000 feet of churches, schools, and other areas. Now, there's a big controversy there because there's a group called the Grace Christian Fellowship that set up a rehabilitation program for nonviolent parolees. And the city attorney for Sinton, Texas, I guess it is, S-I-N-T-O-N, he says the city has a compelling public safety interest in keeping convicted offenders away from schools, residences, and playgrounds. Well, yeah, we don't want convicted offenders at schools and residences and playgrounds. But then on the other hand, folks, what if those convicted offenders have children in those schools and at those playgrounds? Don't we want convicted offenders? We're not talking about pedophiles here, folks, you know. Don't we want people to be with their families after they get out of jail? Don't we want to encourage them to take an interest in their children? You know, I live here in Washington, D.C., and see these insane programs, parole and probation programs, that really put people right back in the system and don't help them at all. And yet here's a Christian organization trying to help nonviolent parolees, and everything is being done to frustrate them. But you know what's interesting, folks? This Grace Christian Fellowship is being backed by the Liberty Legal Institute, the Conservative American Center for Law and Justice, and the Liberal American Civil Liberties Union. So you have so-called liberal groups and so-called conservative groups coming together, thank God, to help out this Grace Christian Fellowship. I mean, the very idea that parolees shouldn't live within 1,000 feet of churches. Think about that, folks. I mean, don't we want parolees to get some religion? Don't we want people who've been through the prison system to come to Jesus Christ if we're Christians? I mean, wouldn't you want the parolees living close to the churches so they could go to churches? I mean, you know, some of these laws that people pass under the most obscure reasons, you know, and the critics of this point out that zoning, and, you know, a lot of us have very solid reasons to criticize zoning. Others have very solid reasons to support it. But, you know, as one of the critics says, zoning is massive power over churches and ministries. Well, you know, this isn't an area in which I delve into too often, but I just saw this, and I just thought it was so interesting because I'm sure the city of Sinton has all sorts of programs for parolees that keep them in the system after they are working to get their way out of the system, and this is an area that people really need to look into. You know, Jimmy Walter, the 911 philanthropist, is known for funding to the tune of millions of dollars in his own money programs for, or he's known for funding the effort to get to the 911 truth, but he's also worked for parolees and probationers, and thank God that he has. Well, folks, just a little commentary on that. When we come back, some more provocative commentary on some perhaps more controversial subjects, as our friends at the Anti-Defamation League would say. Stay tuned, folks.
J. you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonant frequency. If the resonant frequency making the glass vibrate is powerful enough, the size of the vibration will become so large the glass shatters. Using this same principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease-causing organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easiest to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free, 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. Once again, 1-866-885-6625.
Obviously, something serious is going on, politically, economically, geologically, and environmentally. And how you prepare for those changes will determine your well-being in the very near future. Now, whether you're preparing for your family, your business, or your country, the Survival Center has the knowledge and experience to assist you in those decisions. Survival Center is America's premier supplier of family preparedness, health, and survival supplies with over 33 years of continuous operation. Now, you can start preparing with just knowledge, and that's why the Survival Center is offering a book. It's called Basic Preparedness, and it's just $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And it'll teach you about the four basics of survival: food, water, medical, and shelter. And when you order that book, you'll also get a free Survival Center catalog. It's fun to browse while you're thinking about being prepared. Go to survivalcenter.com or call 360-458-6778. That's 360-458-6778. Survival Center.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Coming to you from Washington, D.C., the headquarters of American Free Press, and also the headquarters of the bi-monthly history magazine, The Barnes Review, a journal of nationalist thought and history. Very interesting issue of The Barnes Review, January-February 2007, just released today. Those of you who are advocates or devotees or disciples, followers, whatever you want to call it, of what is popularly known as Christian identity, will be very interested in this particular issue of the Barnes Review, because Willis Cardo, the Barnes Review's publisher, has an article in this issue that is sure to be controversial, because although Willis is not particularly a Christian identity devotee, in fact, he is not. He comes from a Protestant and Catholic background, but he's raised in Protestant church. Willis has a very interesting article saying that there are many, many positive things about Christian identity. Well, that will upset a lot of people who don't like Christian identity, but whether you like it or not, Willis's article is very, very interesting. I have an article in there this month, which is actually an excerpt from my book, The Judas Goats. It's a chapter basically about which I talked about on this program one evening. my personal experiences with Roy Bullock, the charming, skilled, and clever agent of the Anti-Defamation League. Well, of course, I've been called an agent of the Anti-Defamation League, too, but I'm not. But needless to say, Roy Bullock was, and this is my personal account, which you heard recounted here on this program. Also a very interesting article by my friend from Japan, Ryu Ota. Dr. Ota has written a very, very interesting article about the intrigue of the Rothschild banking family in Japan. Dr. Ota, of course, is in fact Japanese, a Japanese nationalist of long standing. He really is the number one revisionist author in Japan. And I think you'll find this article very, very interesting. We don't get the Japanese viewpoint in the United States very much, so I think you'll find this interesting. And in case, that's just a little bit of what appears in the Barnes Review this week, or this month. I'm looking forward to reading it myself when I have the time. So much good information out there to read and listen to on videos and tapes. We'll go to callers later in the program, but I want to run through a few items that caught my attention in the press over the last couple days here. Okay, the United States has been terribly worried about terrorism, as we all know. And the United States has also been really worried about South Korea's atomic weapons program. Well, as I pointed out here on this program, and I'm going to keep repeating this so people recognize it and understand it, the Washington Post reported years ago, about 10 years ago, that the real reason why people in Washington were concerned about North Korea's nuclear program was not because they thought North Korea was going to hit Beverly Hills or Palm Beach or Manhattan. No. People here in the United States in positions of influence were concerned that North Korea might give nuclear weapons or materiel to people who might want to use those weapons on Tel Aviv. So again, as I always say, even our policies in the Far East revolve around Israel. Not my opinion, folks. It's a fact reported in the Washington Post, citing high-level people, getting the message out there to the people who do read the Washington Post, the real policymakers in our nation's capital, telling them that you must oppose nuclear programs for North Korea because they're a possible threat to Israel. In any case, all that having been said, it turns out that South Korea's main nuclear envoy says the United States offered to remove North Korea from Washington's list of states sponsoring terrorism if the communist regime dismantles its atomic weapons program. Well, now, isn't that interesting, folks? This list of states sponsoring terrorism is so widely bandied about. You know, the axis of evil, you know, we're really concerned about terrorism, but here's the United States, the Bush gangster regime, saying, okay, we'll take you off the list of terrorist states if you give up your nuclear weapons program. So I ask you folks, how sincere is your president? Well, he's not sincere. We know that. We know he's a liar. We know he's a war criminal. We know he should be tried as a war criminal. And if formally determined to be a war criminal, as I believe him to be, and as many of you believe him to be, he should then be punished accordingly if convicted after that trial. But here again, we see more signs of these lies and double standards and you know, just this trickery by the Bush administration. Really outrageous. Outrageous. Well, Frederick Kagan is at it again. Kagan is part of this family of Kagans, obviously, who are active in the neoconservative pro-Israel gangsters. Here in official Washington, Frederick Kagan is a so-called resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute. I love that title, resident scholar. I want to know how you get to be a resident scholar, folks. I want to be the resident scholar for the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let's see if John Statmiller will give me that title. Well, in any case, Frederick Kagan is the resident scholar at American Enterprise Institute, and in today's Washington Post, he has a column saying that there should be a surge of troops in Iraq. That's the new term that's being bandied about, surge Well, any troop increase, he says, must be large and lasting. Well, this devotee of Israel, again, wants to send more American men and women over to Iraq to get butchered and killed. Let Mr. Kagan go over there and fight. Let Senator McCain go over and fight. Let Senator Lieberman go over and fight. Let some of these big-shot Jewish leaders in this country who finance these powerful Jewish organizations that lobby on behalf of Israel, let them go over and fight. But the American men and women don't need to be over there fighting. But the right type of surge, Mr. Kagan says, must be large and lasting. What should be large and lasting are war crimes tribunals held right here in the United States to take these war criminals and advocates of war to task. What should be large and lasting here in the United States, folks, should be the gallows that we set up on Capitol Hill and on the Mall in Washington to punish those who've been convicted of war crimes. Oh, yes, large and lasting. Talk about a surge. We need a surge in prosecutions of people who've gotten the United States into Iraq, from the highest to the lowest. Although, really, when it comes right down to it, if you think about it, all of those people who advocated this war are the lowest because they're liars. They're liars. And those who are not liars who went along with it are fools. We're just totally corrupt. So we do need a surge. We need a surge of prosecution. Yes, we do, folks. Oh, it just makes me mad. You know, if I had a headache here from this, I would take headaches day gone. Well, you know, we've heard about Gerald Ford dying. We've heard about James Brown dying. That's made the news. But I'll tell you what, another fellow died on December 1st, after injuring his head in a fall, of all ways, to die, an 84-year-old man from Cleveland, Ohio. Most of you probably don't know his name, but he's an old friend of mine. I'm sorry to see he died, especially dying in an accident. What a hell of a way to die. This guy's name is Jerry Brentar. He was a travel agent by profession, the son of Croatian immigrants. Very, very interesting guy, and I can tell you that this man, Jerry Brentar, saved an innocent man from the gallows. He did it almost single-handedly. We have a story about Jerry in this week's issue of American Free Press, and you know they quote somebody as saying Jerry Brentar was probably one of the kindest people you'd ever want to meet, and you know he was. That's interesting because. That was my first reaction when I met Jerry Brentar many years ago. I don't mean to exaggerate, folks. I really felt like I was in the presence of a saint in dealing with this guy. And I hadn't spoken to Jerry in quite a few years, and I regret that I didn't get a chance to talk to Jerry. It's one of these reminders before he died. It's one of these reminders that you do need to keep in touch with your friends. And now Jerry is dead. Now, we're going to go to a break here momentarily, and I'm going to tell you who Jerry Brentar saved from the gallows, and I'm going to tell you a very interesting story that Jerry Brentar told me, a story that I've told privately. I've never told it publicly. It's not particularly a secret, but it helps explain some of the real mysteries of what happened in Europe at the end of World War II. And why there's a very good possibility that many of the people who were said to have died in the Holocaust really didn't die in the Holocaust. Instead, they ended up here on American shores. When we come back, I'll tell you the story of Jerry Brentar, a really great man who deserves the greatest credit. And if anybody went to heaven the last few days, Jerry Brentar led them all. Stay tuned for more, folks.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Hey, America, how does it feel to be flushed down the toilet of political intrigue and treachery into the sewer of slavery and bondage, where perverts and the godless write the rules? Our unborn children are murdered, our esteemed elders are euthanized, and everyone in between is numbered and tracked like criminals so they can be farmed by government, credit, healthcare organizations, like the chicken farmer farms his chickens. Have you had enough? Is it time to declare your liberty? It's your choice, you know. The only place to begin to declare your independence is to have enough food stored so that you never have to go stand in a bread line to give away the rest of your life or sell your children for a bowl of rice and a slice of bread. Call 800-409-5633. On the web, efoodsdirect.com. 800-409-5633.
Would you enjoy a career where you pick your hours, work for who you want to, when you want to, as much as you want to? No one knows about this hidden career because there is no book, school, or teaching material available until now. Learn the trade of window painting. Window Genie is now offering a 3-day workshop on DVD that shows you how to reproduce art, text, and graphics professionally, even if you can't draw a stick man. Secrets, cheater techniques, shortcuts, tips, and tricks are all revealed. Recoup your investment in as little as one job and have a career for life. This training also gives you the skills to do regular sign work, indoor murals, and signage. Begin your new career today. Just call us at 780-457-7109 or visit us at windowgenie.com. Again, that's Window Genie, spelled JEANNIE.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Pfeiffer coming to you from Washington, courtesy of Headaches Stay Gone. Check it out on the internet at headachesstaygone.com. I can't guarantee, I'm not going to try to guarantee it's going to work for you, but I have a feeling it will because it works for me. So check it out. Try it out. No financial commitment required. Okay, folks, before the break, I told you about the death of Jerry Brentar of Cleveland, Ohio, 84 years old. You may recognize his name, you may not, but you'll probably recognize the internationally infamous story to which he was directly and intimately connected. First of all, let me tell you about Jerry. Jerry was a gentleman, American citizen, as I say, son of Croatian immigrant, who served with a U.S. intelligence division in Europe at the end of World War II. I think it was connected to the military, but I don't have the details in front of me. They're really irrelevant, but needless to say, Jerry was one of the people who was charged with the responsibility of making sure those evil Nazi war criminals didn't sneak into the United States. So Jerry became very, very familiar with a lot of the tools of the trade of intrigue, such as forging passports and phony identification and so forth, and that was his job. He was one of the key people who, as I say, was responsible for vetting and clearing immigrants into the United States from Europe after World War II, from Eastern Europe, from Germany, from all of Europe, and, you know, people who were coming into the United States. You know, the United States didn't want those evil Nazis here. Good God, no. And one of Jerry's responsibilities was to, or Jerry's responsibility was to stop that. Well, flash forward, fast forward for Jerry Brentar back to the 1980s. He heard the story of a Ukraine-born Cleveland auto worker named John Demjanjuk. John Demjanjuk had been stripped of his American citizenship because he was alleged to be Ivan the Terrible, a guard in one of the concentration camps in Europe during World War II. Well, you know, the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, it's been documented. A federal judge in Cleveland himself said it, much to the distress of many people. The federal judge himself said that Jewish groups were largely responsible for stirring up the campaign to get Mr. Demjanjuk, a very quiet, unassuming gentleman, stripped of his citizenship. The judge condemned it. Then it was Jewish groups, the Anti-Defamation League, all of these other horrible groups, these warmongering, troublemaking groups that impacted so negatively upon American society. Well, in any case, they did get Demjanjuk stripped of his citizenship, and he was deported to Israel, and in Israel he was convicted of war crimes, and he was sentenced to hang. Well, Jerry Brentar recognized that some of this evidence against Demjanjuk was cooked up. It was forgeries. Whether the Israelis were responsible or whether the Soviets were responsible, he couldn't say, but he knew they were forgeries because he was an expert on the subject. Brentar went round and round trying to get members of Congress to save John Demjanjuk from the gallows in Israel. Only one member of Congress, and he wasn't even Demjanjuk's congressman, only one member of Congress, Jim Traficant, came to Demjanjuk's defense. They brought out the information. It was presented to the Israeli Supreme Court, and the Israelis themselves acquitted Demjanjuk. And he was sent back home. And Jim Traficant, my friend Jim Traficant, went to Israel to bring John Demjanjuk back. Well, needless to say, you know what the reaction was in the Jewish community in America. They targeted Jim Traficant. And as I've told you on the air, Jim Traficant himself said that's exactly who targeted him and who put him in jail. Jim Traficant's words, not mine. But I certainly endorse everything he said because I know it to be true. In any case, Jerry Brentar was the man who single-handedly made it possible to save John Demjanjuk from the gallows because John Demjanjuk was not Ivan the Terrible, this guard at this concentration camp. You know, Jerry spent, through his travel agency, more than $1 million providing tickets to the Demjanjuk family and for all sorts of people traveling all over the world, about $1 million, $900,000. And, you know, this is very sad. The Demjanjuk family promised to repay Jerry. They didn't make much of an effort to do it. That's a real tragedy there. But needless to say, Jerry did it out of the goodness of his own heart and saved John Demjanjuk. Jim Traficant paid, of course, by going to federal prison on trumped-up charges cooked up by Michael Chertoff, this Jewish Zionist gangster who heads Homeland Security and who was previously a prosecutor in the Justice Department. That's why Jim Traficant went to jail. But it's also important to note Jerry Brentar also presented evidence that exonerated Frank Wallace, a Polish-born American who was also accused by Jewish groups of being a war criminal. Also, he was accused by Simon Wiesenthal and 11 Jewish so-called eyewitnesses. These were people, eyewitnesses. Oh, these were Holocaust survivors. They were sure that Frank Wallace had been the evil concentration camp guard. Well, he wasn't. These eyewitnesses, these Holocaust survivors were liars. But Jerry Brentar proved Frank Wallace innocent. Wallace called Jerry Brentar my savior. Well, I'm going to tell you a story when we come back. Very interesting story that Jerry Brentar told me. I wish he was here to tell it live, folks. He's in heaven looking down. I hope he steers me in telling the story correctly. Stay tuned, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.
Stay connected to what's happening at the Republic Broadcasting Network by visiting our website,
www.rbnlive.com.
At rbnlive.com, you'll stay up to date with our latest broadcast schedule, learn about upcoming events, read about our air personalities and the programs they host, take part in discussion forums, read the latest breaking news, and listen to RBN programs on your computer by connecting to our live broadcast stream. Plus, you can download previous RBN programs from the archive completely free of charge. That's right. Unlike other services, there is no charge to download programs from the RBN archive. Share them freely with others who are not yet listeners to the Republic Broadcasting Network and help spread the word. We're taking America back through the power of information. Stay connected to the Republic Broadcasting Network and our website, rbnlive.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
There is one and only one national populist news weekly, staffed by an unsurpassed team of veteran investigative journalists who have dared to rip the veil of deception from the cover-up stories promoted by the big money-controlled media monopoly.
American Free Press.
AFP's no-holds-barred journalists fearlessly seek the truth, no matter how controversial the issue. AFP publishes exciting, in-depth, uncensored news and information good patriotic Americans need to know to combat the coming police state being clamped in our republic. The American Free Press is your voice. Subscribe today and catch up on the real news. Mention RBN when you call and receive a one-year subscription, plus a copy of Michael Collins Piper's latest bestseller, The High Priests of War. All that for just $49? Call AFP toll-free, 888-699-NEWS, or visit AmericanFreePress.net.
Gentlemen, welcome back. At the end of the half hour before the break, I was telling you about the late Jerry Brentar and how he saved John Demjanjuk from the gallows in Israel, proving that he was not Ivan the Terrible, the Ukrainian guard in a concentration camp in Europe. I also told how he saved a Polish-born American, Frank Wallace, from these Jewish hounds of war, and they were Jewish hounds of war, folks, who swore in court, 11 Jewish so-called eyewitnesses, along with Simon Wiesenthal, the big-time Nazi hunter. They were sure that Frank Wallace was a Gestapo killer. Well, he wasn't. Jerry Brentar came in and saved him. Wallace called Brentar my savior. Well, as I said, I knew Jerry Brentar fairly well. A decent guy, one of the nicest people I ever met in my life, one of the most gentleman. And, of course, you know, despite Jerry's efforts, the Jewish groups came back again, went after Demjanjuk and said, well, he may not have been Ivan the Terrible, but he was still a concentration camp guard, and by God, we're going to get him one way or the other, and they're still after him. I don't even know the latest details on it, but I know that this man who's almost 90 years old is still under fire from these Jewish groups. For the sake of those Jewish groups, I just hope that some good American who's fed up with this kind of treatment doesn't take out justice against these people, because they've tormented John Demjanjuk for years and years and years. In any case, I'm going to tell you a story that Jerry Brentar told me about his personal experiences over there. Now, this is off the top of my head, folks, and I hope I get the details as accurate as possible, and I will strive to do that. If I recall correctly, Jerry was stationed in France. He may have been stationed in Portugal. In any case, he was stationed in Europe in a key position where he was able to see the goings-on of all the people who were coming and going. Now, Jerry told me this very affirmatively, that the entire time he was there was like a two-track system that was going on there. There were the Eastern European immigrants and the German immigrants and all the people from Europe, the non-Jews who were leaving Europe at the end of the war. These were the people that Jerry and his team were responsible for vetting, making sure they weren't evil Nazis and evil anti-Semites. There were quite a few people that were trying to come to the United States at the end of the war, and so they were busy. But here's what was happening at the same time. There were trainloads after trainloads, the trainload after trainload after trainload, coming into Western Europe, coming to France, coming to Portugal, coming to the ports there. Trainloads of Jews. Jews who had been liberated from the concentration camps. In addition, there were many, many Jewish commissars from the Soviet Bolshevik Army who were also coming to the United States. They were coming through, but they were being passed right through. Yeah, okay. These people were coming through, and they were not being cleared at all. And what was happening was that they were being met by boatloads coming from the United States filled with contraband for the black market in Europe. Boatload after boatload after boatload. Coming from the United States, many of them run by organized crime interests, cigarettes, all sorts of things that were being sold on the black market in Europe. And when those boats were emptied on the ports in Europe, those boats returned to the United States, filled up with communist commissars and thousands and thousands of Jews who had been liberated from the concentration camps. They were brought into the United States illegally, bypassing U.S. immigration, thousands and thousands and thousands of people. But Jerry Brentar and the people who were responsible for vetting all the people who were coming in the United States were not allowed to touch those people. So how many of those people who came into the United States and settled in New York and Galveston, Texas, among other places, with the assistance, by the way, of Lyndon Johnson, that's documented in biographies about him. How many of those people were supposedly people who died in the concentration camps in Europe? Now, this is a story I guarantee that you've never heard anywhere else. I heard it firsthand from Jerry Brentar, and I'm glad to be able to preserve that story for the historical record here. Well, I'm being joined by my colleague from the Barnes Review, John DeNugent. I'm glad John is here. How you doing, John?
Just fine, Mike. And if I may first say, I want to salute you for your courage that you went to a city which is in the crosshairs of the Israeli Air Force, Tehran, Iran, and you had the testicular fortitude to be there and be a target at that historic event. And, you know, if I may, I'd like to tell you just my memories of Jerry Brentar.
Yeah, please do, John. I know you knew him, yeah.
I did, and the late Spotlight newspaper for which you worked, and I worked in gathering money for them for 5 years. I traveled around the country, and his wonderful travel agency took care of everything perfectly, all my flights and hotels and whatnot. And I visited there once, and I met Jerry Brentar. He gave us excellent prices. I mean, this is a man who sacrificed to live for his idealism. And he was a gentle, beauty. He wasn't a handsome man. He was a gentle, beautiful man with his beautiful brown eyes. And he had nice Jewish people working for him. There's not a bone of hatred in that man's body.
Wasn't he a wonderful guy? Truly a really decent, fine, wonderful, loving, kind. I mean, the superlatives are just, you know, people who have never met this guy maybe think we're being too effusive here, but not at all.
No, you know, I'd like to make a general comment. I've been in the patriotic or nationalist cause about 28 years now. Dates me, but that's true. And I actually remember when the country was 90% white.
Yeah, that's right.
And
when was that?
In the 50s.
Yeah.
What I remember about Jerry is something I still see today. People call us. They call us hateful and vicious things. They say anti-Semites. They say racists, throwbacks to the bad old days of this and that, right-wingers. And they say all these things. My personal experience has been that I have met, of all the gentle people I've met, most of the gentle and sweet and nice people I have met who give you the shirt off your back were in the so-called patriotic cause.
Isn't that interesting? Mm-hmm.
That's
mm-hmm.
been my experience over 28 years of observation. And cutthroats, the ones who hurl at us, racists and evil and hard-hearted and prejudice and all this vitriol, they're the hard-hearted ones. I have met so many people I would trust my life with, people who would share their food, put me up on their couch without a moment. People I would knock on the door, I'm from the Spotlight newspaper, and they'd put me up in their house within an hour.
Mm-hmm.
So why go to a hotel or a motel? Why give somebody in here your money? You can stay here tonight. And I felt like I had friends around the world in our patriotic cause.
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, and Jerry, as I say, you know, if they're the brigade of good people that went to heaven this past month. Jerry died, I guess, on December 1st. I'm surprised that we only just learned this, but in any case, Jerry led that brigade. I have no doubt about that. Really a wonderful guy, and, you know, there wasn't a mean bone in his body, and, you know, he was totally, absolutely sincere, and he took a hell of a lot of hatred and harassment from Jewish groups. That's who it's from. I mean, let's not pull any punches here. It wasn't the Chinese Americans or even the Serbian Americans. Jerry was a Croatian, and you know, my Serbian friends and my Croatian friends tend to go head to head sometimes, but it wasn't the Serbians who were going after Jerry Brentar.
Mm.
You know, and you know, here this man, you know, he certainly saved two people's lives. Not for a penny, rather at his own expense to the tune of about $900,000.
Yeah.
I mean, this wasn't money out of pocket per se, but over a long period of time, he was buying airline tickets at his own expense and providing it to different people who were investigating the Demjanjuk case. And, you know, this is just, how many people do you find like that on the face of the planet?
Well, you find them in our cause.
Well, yes, I mean, in, yeah. But Jerry was just one special guy, and I, like I say, my great regret is that I hadn't talked to Jerry for a long, long time, and you know, it's just a reminder to us all that we should keep our friends close and mm-hmm. always remember that they do leave us. And Jerry died of an accident. He mm-hmm. hit his head and. Died from a fall, so I hope his death was quick and painless.
You know, another thing that I realized by going out there was that he lived in a heavily Jewish suburb. It's Shaker Heights.
Yes, absolutely.
Up above mm-hmm. the city of Cleveland, and it's interesting hypocrisy that a lot of Jewish liberals were behind forcing school busing and integration on the city of Cleveland and everywhere else. And, of course, what they did is they beat it to the wealthy, all-white suburbs. You know? And there he was. You know, you were saying, you know, keep your friends close. Well, Jerry was keeping his enemies even closer.
I guess so. What can I say? John, you have a very – I should mention this in this issue of the Barnes Review, if we can digress back to that for a moment. You have a very interesting article in this January-February 2000 Barnes Review, Psychopaths in History, talking about some of the things that we talked about on a couple programs here last month, I believe it was. So that's another story that people will want to check out in the Barnes Review this month. Lots of interesting things, as usual.
Well, you know, people are trying to figure out George Bush, so I'm offering a possible explanation.
Well, I believe that's a I believe that is a good explanation. John, stick on here with me for a little bit. I wanted to, speaking of horrible groups, you know, our friend David Irving is home now, and the Anti-Defamation League says that the David Irving's prison term only hardened his extremist views. They are not very happy about the fact that David Irving is out of jail, and they're complaining that David Irving has never renounced his Holocaust denial. They think that's just a terrible thing. Well, of course, that term Holocaust denial is a very clever catch-all term. You know, if you deny that the Romans killed 40 billion Jews, as Jewish legend has it, they'll also call you a Holocaust denier. So, you know, this is this is the kind of thing we have to deal with.
Well, you know, one of the first things out of David Irving's mouth, and as you know, he's brilliant, and he has a he has a pretty good mouth. He said, "I agree with Mel Gibson." Significant.
I just have this feeling that David was throwing a few bombs when he got out of prison, saying something like that. So
I see significance in two huge things, and they connect Gibson and Irving. First of all, two are famous figures, one world famous, Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson had a supposed drunken tirade when he blamed the Jews for most of the world's wars. Actually, he would have said the same thing when he wasn't drunk. but now there was a decision. They'd spent millions and millions on his new movie, Apocalypto, which is about how the psychopathic Aztecs would capture these people from the villages so they could rip their hearts out by the hundreds. And it's a horrifying and violent and realistic movie about, to me, the psychopathic element in society. In fact, a friend of ours named Pete saw the movie twice, and he said, this movie confirms the theory that there are actually psychopaths in power who live for cruelty and they enjoy the suffering of others. And that's actually what they want, is suffering. They're actually evil.
And well, I think George Bush gets a charge of some sort. I don't even want to try to speculate on what kind of charge he gets, but he really revels in this militarism. And, you know, I'm no pacifist. Neither are you, John. You were in the U.S. Marines, for God's sake. But I really do believe that Bush, you know, fancies himself some sort of Genghis Khan. I don't mean to be nasty to Genghis Khan, comparing him to garbage like George W. Bush. But
usually what was going around the Internet was Smirky the Chimp. But, you know, he's lost that smirk, Mike Pfeiffer. He has lost that smirk. And it's the only good thing that's come out of the Iraq War. If he's not smirking as he used to.
Well, that's true enough. I'll tell you what, if he's ever in the dock on war crimes trials, I don't think he'll be able to smirk as much.
He won't. What I see is very significant that when the powers that be in Hollywood said, we sunk all this money into this movie Apocalypto, and we can go ahead and it might make a lot of money, but then again, we'd be rewarding this guy who is a rabid anti-Semite. And so, but they went ahead with it. And the New York Times had an article about a week ago that the Jewish community in Hollywood is upset because it seems that in a just world, he would have to get the Oscar for Best Director, and Apocalypto would get the Oscar for Best Film. And now they have a dilemma. But you see, what they realize through their focus groups, I mean, after his so-called drunken tirade, you know, they're always doing select little private opinion polls with a group of six or seven typical Americans, scientifically picked out to be typical. And they were obviously getting feedback. We're not angry at Mel Gibson. We maybe even like him a little bit more. They decided to run the movie. And David Irving picked up somehow on this, that if you link yourself to Mel Gibson, you're on the winning team.
I think you're absolutely right about that, John. And was probably a good move on David's part. You know, there's a lot of thought, and I, you know, there's a lot of question about whether or not the Holocaust Conference had some impact on the release of David Irving. I tend to think that it did. I think that because of the international attention on that conference in Iran, so many more people came to realize that there are these questions being raised, and that people of the caliber of David Irving have had the guts to raise those questions and end up in jail for doing it. And that causes people to say, well, you know, why should people go to jail for just stating an opinion? Because everybody has an opinion, and the very thought they could go to jail is a rather frightening thing. John DeNugent, stay on the line with us. This is Michael Collins Piper. We're getting ready to wrap up this hour, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Can you grow your own nutrition on a shelf indoors in 10 days? Wheatgrass juice is live superfood, the richest nutritional liquid known to man, packed with amino acids, living enzymes, and over 100 elements. 2 ounces of juice have the same nutrition as 3 pounds of choice garden produce. Call 1-877-699-4328. That's 1-877-MY-WHEAT. The stamina, healing, blood building, weight control, and cleansing are just the beginnings of what you will reap from pennies worth of grain. For the book, seed, and the beautiful stainless steel hand crank wheatgrass juicer for $150 plus shipping. No monthly pills, no monthly bills. This is real self-sufficiency. Go to AustinWheatgrass.com or call toll-free 1-877-MY-WHEAT. That's 1-877-699-4328. And thank you for your support of our labors and of the RBN network.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
This hour, we have John DeNugent on the line. John, you and your very good friend Margaret Hufstickler appeared on this program a couple weeks ago, with Margaret carrying the torch primarily, and very eloquently, I might add, discussing the truth about the economic policies of Adolf Hitler, certainly a controversial subject and one that's very misunderstood. And, you know, I was thinking there's another subject. I was actually going to send you and Margaret an email about this, an area that I think maybe you both could discuss, one or both of you, that I think would be of interest to a lot of people. And that's the subject of what really happened at the German Reichstag. You know, it's been a matter of form, a very common belief that Adolf Hitler burned the Reichstag and used that, blamed it falsely on the communists and the Jews, and that he used that to consolidate his power. But, you know, those of us who've actually bothered to look into the legend know that that's not exactly true.
Well, it's interesting what happens here with these prevaricators. The historians universally admit that it's not true Hitler burned his own. It was like the U.S. Capitol. He didn't burn the U.S. Capitol of Germany. All historians admit that now, that it was a crazy loner who was a Dutch communist, just out of his gourd, and he actually burned it. He spread gasoline around, and he'd never burned a building before, but he did, and they couldn't catch the fire until it was too late. Hitler actually sincerely thought it was a communist uprising. It was the signal for a nationwide communist uprising. We know that from people who saw him up close. But the interesting thing is, it's just like with the lampshade legends that the Germans made lampshades out of Jewish skin. This stuff still circulates among the people, but there's no historian still has the chutzpah to actually claim it anymore. But it's burned into people's mind. Lampshades. And Hitler burned his own Reichstag so he could establish martial law.
Yeah, and there's just absolutely no truth to it whatsoever, but so many good patriots in this country have used that story to suggest that 9-1-1 was another Reichstag fire, that, they say that, well, George Bush and X, Y, and Z staged 9-1-1 as a pretext for a police state, just as they say Adolf Hitler burned the Reichstag. I've even heard stories that Hermann Goering actually helped light the fire in the Reichstag. I've heard that quite sincerely by very sincere patriots, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, you know, people have this image. Hitler was a horrible dictator, and he gassed 6 million Jews, and therefore he was a bad guy, even if he stopped unemployment. People need to take a fresh, entirely fresh look at why one of the world's most gifted and intelligent and actually no-nonsense people, the Germans, absolutely embraced this man. Actually, he was an Austrian, not even technically a German. He wasn't even a German citizen when he ran for office, by the way. They found that out. It was a little technicality.
Another example, John, is this legend that Hitler was a big advocate of gun control. That gun control was some Hitler scheme to disarm the people so he could establish a dictatorship upon them. That's just absolutely not true.
That's absolutely not true.
Right.
He didn't fear his own people.
John, thanks for coming aboard. Ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you, Mike.
I hope you learned a few facts here tonight, maybe some uncomfortable facts, but facts nonetheless. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth, and I figure you can handle the truth. That's why I bring you these uncomfortable facts. From the story of Jerry Brentar, to the story of Hitler and gun control, to the story of Hitler and the Reichstag. Uncomfortable facts, but the facts nonetheless. Thanks for listening in, folks. Stay tuned for more good programming on RBNLive.com and on shortwave. Have a good evening.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals?
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.